Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
Today, let's give God an ovation of worship, an ovation of praise in this place. Let's give God some praise in this place like never before this morning. Hallelujah. 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 As we work out the kinks, hallelujah. Let's just, for this moment, if we can just, for the next 24 seconds, I want us to remember the Bryant family and all of those who lost their lives on last Sunday. So we're going to do it for the next 24 seconds. So if you would, just close your eyes right where you are. And for the next 24 seconds, say a prayer for the Bryant family. Say a prayer for the Alto Beely family. Say a prayer for the Zobayan family. Amen. So for the next 24 seconds, if we could start that timer. Amen. We could just say a short prayer for them for the next 24 seconds. Amen. About this whole situation with Kobe was that he went to church right before that helicopter crash. And so we know where his spirit is. Amen. Amen. So you should be thankful for life today. Be thankful for an opportunity because God has blessed you with life. You can move your hands. You can breathe. You can see me. Amen. So life is but a vapor. Amen. So make sure that you spend your life the right way. Amen. So that you can spend eternity with Christ. Amen. Spend eternity with God. Amen. Amen. Didn't our praise team sing amazing this morning? Let's give God some praise for them. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated for a second. Amen. I am thankful for it today. We have made it to the second month in 2020. Hallelujah. The second month. How many of you all were blessed by the multi-series? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you all were blessed by that series? That was a good series. Amen. And I dreamed last night that NBCC was multi-generational. I dreamed that NBCC was multi-ethnic. And I dreamed that NBCC was multiplying. Hallelujah. And it's just a matter of time, amen. And it was, when I tell you all the dream, it was just people coming from all over. People were just filling in and filling the place. Hallelujah. So it's just a matter of time, amen, because God keeps showing me that dream over and 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 over. So I know it's going to come true, amen. Amen. So that means, since we are in a new month, that means new series. Everybody say new series.
New series.
New series. We are in a series this month that I think is going to be really beneficial to helping us move from a judgment mindset to a grace mindset. How many of y'all got the email this week? How many of y'all check out email this week? Y'all check out email? Okay, you got to check your email. You got to check your spam, too. So check your spam, email, check your promotional email, because the email went to some people's promotional email. So check your emails, because we're going to be sending out emails to you all. We're going to be sending out texts. We're going to be sending out calls. And we're probably going to be sending out postcards as well with the series and let you all know what's happening in the month of February and March at MBCC. But we are in a series this month called Church Rules. Everybody say Church Rules. Church Rules. And religion has caused us to live by church rules. Religion has caused us to live by church rules. And church rules have really limited our impact on the world, on the society, because we have been living by these rules. And what church rules is law. We've been living by the law. But when Jesus came to fulfill the law and to fulfill the prophets all together. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to fulfill the law, fulfill the prophets. So that means that Jesus was our atoning sacrifice for the law. He was our atoning sacrifice for the law. So this series, I think, is going to be it's going to be a fun series for me because God has given me what we're going to talk about. And today we're going to talk about thou shalt only throw stones if. Thou shalt only throw stones if. If. So it's a play on words. So you can only throw stones if you meet these requirements. So if you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. If you did not bring your Bible, you can look on the screens. If you look on this, he's not that fast today, huh? You got the cheat sheet, though. He's still on your side. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Once you get there, if you would, jump to your feet. Jump to your feet. And we're going to read from the Passion Translation. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Church rules. It's going to help us move from law to grace. It's going to help us move from judgment to love. It's going to help us move from condemnation to freedom. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So the question is, are you condemning yourself? Are you condemning others? Or are you living in freedom? Because when you're set free, then you live in freedom. See, a lot of us are not set free. That's why we can easily judge somebody. That's why we can easily hold somebody's sins against them. That's why we can easily condemn them. That's why we can easily live by grace but not allow them to live by grace, because we have been set free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So that means that you're free in every area of your life. See, a lot of us aren't free. We're bound. We're bound by shame. We're bound by guilt. We're bound by pride. And we're going to talk about that today, how we're bound by those things and we're not able to properly love people because we are bound by the wrong things. But when we are free in love, when we are free indeed, then that means that we can move about freely. That means that we can love people the right way. That means that we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So John chapter 8, verses 1 says this. And just listen to me as I read it. You can watch the screen. You can follow along. It says this. It says, Jesus walked up the Mount of Olives near the city where he spent the night. Then at dawn, Jesus appeared in the temple courts again. And soon all the people gathered around him to listen to his words. So he sat down and taught them. See, Jesus was so personable. See, he was just having a conversation with them. That's why he sat down. See, Jesus knew how to connect before he corrected anybody. That's why he was feeding people. He knows the way to a person's heart is through their stomach. Like a way to somebody's hearts is through our stomach, right? So if I was to feed you all, I think you all would be a whole lot more receptive to me. So that's why Jesus fed the people and taught them, because he knows that if I feed these people, then they're going to be a whole lot more attentive to me. They're going to listen a whole lot more to me. He didn't feed them in this instance. And then it says this in verse 3. Then in the middle of his teachings, the religious scholars and the Pharisees broke through the crowd and brought a woman who had been caught in the act of committing adultery and made her stand in the middle of everyone. Then they said to Jesus, Teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. See, reading this makes me question the Pharisees, because where would you have to be to catch somebody in adultery? What would you have to be watching to catch somebody in adultery? See, a lot of times we want to catch people in their sins, and then we're sinning, trying to catch somebody else in their sin. And so what were the Pharisees watching? Were they looking through the upper room window? Were they on a ladder? Where did they have to be in order to catch somebody in adultery? They had to follow him, and they had to be watching her. And they had to be watching the man too. Now my question is, why did they just bring the woman in and not the man as well? Because they were both in adultery. It's not the woman shall not commit adultery. Church rules. This is what religion has taught us. Sit down, y'all. Sit down. I know y'all standing up. See, religion has taught us to catch people in their sins. Now, while we sin, religion has taught us, hey, if I catch you in your sin and you don't see what I do in the dark, then it's okay. But it's important that we don't live by the law. It's important that we don't live by religious standards. Now it says this. So they made her stand in the middle of everyone. Verse 4. Then they said to Jesus, "Teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone to death a woman like this? Tell us, what do you say we should do with her?" They were only testing Jesus because they hoped to trap him with his own words and accuse him of breaking the laws of Moses. But Jesus didn't answer them. Instead, he simply bent down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Angry, they kept insisting that he answered the question. So Jesus stood up and looked at them and said, "Let's have the man who has never had a sinful desire throw the first stone at her." And then he bent over again and wrote some more words in the dust. Upon hearing that, her accusers slowly left the crowd, one at a time, beginning with the oldest to the youngest, with a convicted conscience, until finally Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there in front of her. So he stood back up and said to her, "Dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" Looking around, she said, "I see no one, Lord." Jesus said, "Then I certainly don't condemn you either. Go, and from now on, be free from a life of sin." So our topic for today is, thou shalt only throw stones if. Let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you for this time. I pray that you move Lester Bell Jr. out of the way and that you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to your people. I thank you, Lord God, that we will live in grace, Lord God, and we will allow grace to be our approach and truth to be our identity. So we love you, we thank you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thou shalt only throw stones if. So in this story, what happened was, if we were to bring this to modern day time, and I was teaching, or if Jesus was here and he was teaching, and somebody religious brought somebody in that had committed a sin and stood her right here in the middle of everybody and said, "Hey, look, this lady has been caught in adultery. What should we do? Shouldn't we stone her according to the law?" See, a lot of times what happens is we want to live by grace, but we don't want to allow anybody else to live by grace. And so that means that when we live by grace and don't allow anybody else to live by grace, then we are really holding ourselves back from being effective, because we are to be effective in order to reach people. But if I live by grace and don't allow you to live by grace, then I'm really limiting my effectiveness with you. And so it's beautiful how they brought this woman to Jesus, because Jesus' approach was grace, but his identity was truth. His approach was grace, but his identity was truth. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 14. This is not in your outlines, but John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says this, for time's sake. Time be flying, wow. And it says this. It says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So when Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. So that means that his approach was grace, but his identity was truth. See, our approach has to be grace, but our identity has to be truth. Because when our approach is grace and our identity is truth, then we will really be able to affect those that come in our view. We will be able to affect those who come into our presence. Because if my approach is grace, if my approach is hate, rather, and my identity is judgment, then I will never be able to really draw people to Christ because my approach and my identity is wrong. See, a lot of us in church, our approach and our identity is wrong. While our approach should be grace, our approach is, oh no, you shouldn't have did this. I'm going to hold this against you. And when we do that to people, we make people feel guilty. We make people feel ashamed. So we condemn people. So we shouldn't ever condemn people. You should never condemn anybody. So the first, thou shalt only throw stones if you are sinless. Thou shalt only throw stones if you are sinless. So in this story, we see Jesus asking them, okay, well, the first person to throw the stone is the one who has not sinned. And so what happened was the oldest to the youngest left in order from the oldest to the youngest because they had a convicted conscience because they had sinned too as well. And so while they were trying to hold this sin against this woman, they forgot about their sins. And so what sin is just basically missing the mark. That's all sin is missing the mark. And so when we repent, we have a change of mind because repentance is a change of mind. So when we have a change of mind, then we have a change of identity. When we have a change of mind, then our change of mind goes from sin to truth because the truth about me is found in Christ. The truth about me is found in God. So it is easy to cast judgment on others and forget about all the sins that you have committed. It is easy for me to cast judgment. Now, in a religious mindset, it's easy for me to cast judgment on you and forget about all the sins that I've done as well. See, have you ever, and we're going to talk about this when Brother Prayer's class come, thou shalt not be spiritually deep and not love. Because a lot of us are spiritually deep and we don't love people. We got all the sayings in the world. God don't answer email. He answer knee mail. Y'all will catch that at 2 o'clock in the morning. We got all the sayings in the world. When somebody come up to us and we got all the sayings, I'm blessed, I'm not stressed. Nevertheless, I'm blessed. We say all of these sayings, but we spiritually deep and we're not loving properly. And so what happened was these Pharisees, they were spiritually deep. They were religiously deep because they knew the law, but they didn't properly love. Because if they loved, they would have said, okay, I've committed sins. Let me show grace to this lady as well. Let me show grace to this woman as well. So it's easy to cast judgment on others and forget about all the sins that I have committed. See, the reason it is so easy to cast judgment on someone else is because of the pride we have built within our hearts. The reason it is so easy to cast judgment on someone else is because of the pride we have built within our hearts. See, pride makes you feel like you know it all. See, the Pharisees thought they knew it all because they came to Jesus trying to test Jesus. Hey, Jesus, so the law says this, that if we catch a woman in adultery, that we should stone her. Now, the law, see, I think we've had a misconstrue of the law because the law was to really help people live right. There wasn't only 10 laws. There were 613 laws. So when the people of Israel were brought out of bondage, God created the law through Moses so people could know what to do. So people could know how to live because they were so in bondage that they didn't know how to live. They were following the customs of the wrong people. So they were so in bondage that they did not know how to live. So the law was created to teach us how to live. But when Jesus came, he came away to fulfill the law, rather, and the prophets. So when he fulfilled the law and the prophets, he said, I'm giving you a new covenant. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. And the second commandment is thou shalt love thy neighbor as I love thyself. So that was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So when we live by that, then we are free to really love people. See, pride causes you to turn your nose up at those that those you feel have sinned. Pride causes you to turn your nose up at those you feel have sinned. That used to be me. I used to be so prideful because I thought I knew so much about God, and I didn't allow people to live by grace. I would always judge people. Oh, they shouldn't do this. Oh, they shouldn't do that. God gonna get them. Oh, man, they going to hell because of this. But God had to remind me, you're not perfect in this. I didn't call you. I didn't call you to save them. Jesus saves, not you. Amen. So when we understand that Jesus saves and not us, then we will allow other people to live by grace. Oh, they shouldn't be doing this, or they shouldn't be doing that. But what have you done? What thought? We classify our sins. So we have a hierarchy of sin. My sin is less than your sin, and your sin is way greater than my sin, and you going to hell because of your sin. But sin is sin. There's no classification of sin. And so religion has taught us that there is a classification of sin. There's a degree of sin. Well, if I sin to this degree, then I'm okay. If I sin to the first degree, I'm okay. But if you sin to the third degree, then you go on to hell. No. There is no hierarchy of sin. So we have to move that out of our mindsets that there is no hierarchy of sin. So pride, what pride does, pride really moves you away from truly loving the person that God has created. Pride moves you further away from truly loving the person that God has created. Because pride makes you hate the person because you're so prideful. And so when we're so prideful, it hurts other people. See, pride is the only disease that affects everybody else, makes everybody else sick but you. That's the only disease that does that, pride. It makes everybody else sick but you. Because you're so caught up in yourself, and you're so caught up in you think you knowing it all, and you think you got all the rules, and you got all the scripture down pat, you got everything in order, you got all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. But you miss the mark sometimes too. And so that means that I have to show grace. When we miss the mark, we have to show grace to those who miss the mark. We can't say, hey, you deserve hell. You deserve punishment. Let me condemn you. See, pride makes us condemn one another. But God never called us to condemn one another. And I asked this earlier. I said my question with the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees were so prideful. And I asked this earlier. My question with them is, where would you have to be to catch the woman in adultery? Where would you have to be looking? Like, would you have to be in the room? How would you know? They didn't have no cell phones back then. They had no text message. They didn't have no Facebook, no Instagram. Nobody couldn't send a message. None of that. No cameras, no Ring doorbells. They had no Ring doorbells. They had none of that. So where would you have to be to catch this woman in adultery? You had to be where she was. You had to be all in the room with her. And so instead of administering grace, you administered judgment to this person. And see, when we administer judgment to people, we push people further away from the faith. We push people further away from the faith. And God never called us to push people away from the faith. God called us to be reconcilers. So we are to reconcile people to the ministry of Christ. We are to bring people to Christ. We're not to repel people from Christ. See, I did this, and I'm gonna make some screenshots for you. I was gonna do it today. I did this little poll on Facebook, why people don't come to church. And the number one thing that I saw on that post was judgment. Judgment, 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 judgment. And that's what church has become. You can't look a certain way in church. You gotta follow the church rules. But this house, see, there's liberty in this house. There's freedom in this house. There's love in this house. There's grace in this house. There is truth in this house because this house was built on truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that means that truth is our identity. So that means that we're not hyper-grace, that we're not just, we're so focused on grace that we forget to teach the truth. No, we are focused on grace, but we teach the truth in love. Hallelujah. Because we truly love one another. Amen. And so when we truly love one another, then that pride will fall away. Because the pride is not affecting you, it's affecting everybody else around you. And the reason you can't attract people to Christ the way you're supposed to is because you're too prideful. You're too prideful, so we got to break the pride spirit. So pride makes you feel as if you are sinless. Pride makes you feel as if you are sinless. Pride makes you feel like you were the only, like you were the one who saved you. Like you got on the cross and died for yourself. I got on my own cross and I died for myself. That's what it looks like when we're prideful. I got on the cross, Jesus. You didn't get on the cross for me, but I got on the cross, Jesus, and I died for myself. That's what pride looks like. That's a perfect depiction of pride. So pride is deadly. Pride is deadly. And pride will hurt everybody else but yourself. But eventually, you're going to hurt yourself too. Because instead of affecting those that you are, thank you, Holy Spirit, instead of affecting those that you're supposed to affect to bring to Christ, you are infecting those to push those away from Christ. Did you hear what I said? Instead of affecting those that you're supposed to bring to Christ, you're infecting others and repelling them away from Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. You there, huh?
Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. I am welcome.
Everyone there? Did y'all give me 30 minutes? Y'all gave me 40 minutes? Man. Y'all sure? Wow. Time flying. They say time flies when you have fun, right? All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for time's sake, it says this. It says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, so no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. So grace is God's unmerited favor. So grace was given to you, and you didn't have to do anything for it. So if grace was given to you, you didn't have to do anything for it, why can't we allow other people to live by that grace that was given to them? Yes. Because if we have a misconstrued perception of, I only want to live by this free grace that God gave me and not God gave you, then we really miss the mark in that, because that's really the wrong perception to take. That's really the wrong mindset to take, because it's God's unmerited favor. So unmerited means that it was given to you without any merit. It was given to you without you having to strive for it. It was free grace. It didn't say grace that costs 50 cents, grace that costs $3, grace that costs $10. It was free grace. And it's not because of your works. See, a lot of times people think in church that you got to, and we're going to talk about this one Sunday. I don't know if it's going to be next Sunday. But we think that you got to behave before you get saved. No, you don't have to behave before you get saved. Because your salvation isn't determined by your works. So it's not about, okay, well, I did this to work on myself, and I did that to work on myself, so now I'm good. Now I can get saved. No, we come to Christ, and he can use whoever we are, wherever we are, whenever we are there, he can use us. And so we have to allow God's free grace to have rule and reign over our life. Turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 24. And we're going to come back to that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. But Romans chapter 23, verse 24. Chapter 3, rather, verse 23 through 24. And it says this. It says, for we all have sinned
and are in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us. Cascade. When you see something that cascades, it's just overflowing. Waterfalls cascade. All because Jesus, the anointed one, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. See, sin brings guilt, punishment, and is really powerful. But Jesus has freed us from that. So when we understand that Jesus has freed us from that and that it's a gift from God, then we will start to allow others to live from that gift from God. So the next, thou shalt only throw stones if. Thou shalt only throw stones if you are not included in the world. Thou shalt only throw stones if you are not included in the world. So let me give you some perspective behind this. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Give you some perspective. Give you some perspective in this. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Thou shalt only throw stones if you are not included in the world. But the scripture says, be ye in the world, but not of the world. Yes, it says that. But let me give you some perspective behind this. It says this. Everyone there? John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, it says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that first line right there says, for God so loved the world. So that means that's you. Because you are included in the world. We are in the world, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that he who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we are included in the world. So that means that everybody is included. So that means that God loved everybody. So that means that I can only throw stones if I'm not included in that everybody. But you are included in the everybody because God loves you so much to include you in the everybody. See, before you were born, God included you in the everybody because this happened over 2,000 plus years ago. So before you were born, you were included in that everybody. So Jesus died for you even before 2020 even existed. Jesus died for you. And so when we understand that Jesus died for me even before I existed, then I will start to live by that love. See, Jesus not only died for me, he died for everybody. So that includes everybody. So I can only throw stones if I'm not included in that everybody, but I'm included in that everybody. Now, verse 17 is the kicker. It says this. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus didn't come to condemn anybody. See, most times we forget that Jesus was sent for everybody. We forget that. We forget Jesus was sent for everybody. So it's hard for us to really grasp that concept that Jesus was sent for everybody when we live in a judgment mindset, when we live in a condemnation mindset. It's hard for us to grasp that mindset. I don't know why it's so hard for us to grasp that mindset when God loved everybody. Because the scripture didn't say, well, for God so loved the world, well, except homosexuals, except African Americans, except Caucasian Americans, except poor people. He didn't give us any what's those disclaimers at the bottom when you see those car commercials? You can buy this car for $5,000 off. But in the small writing at the bottom that you can't hardly see or read, you gotta have a magnifying glass, pause the TV, go up and try to put the magnifying glass. Okay, in order to qualify, my credit score gotta be this, and the APR gotta be this, and that's the small writing. See, God didn't give us no small writing. He made it plain. He said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So he loved everybody. So that means that everybody was included in that. So that there was nobody excluded from that. So that means that we are to love everybody just as Christ loved us. Because Christ loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And he didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but he came to the world that the world might be saved through him, that we might find salvation and made safe through him. And so that means that he wants everybody to find salvation and be safe through him. So that means that I have to change my mindset on people. I have to change my perception on people. So religious mindsets, listen to this, religion mindsets have a way of condemning others. We have a way of condemning others. See, we want to do the condemnation. But the scripture says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we want to do the condemnation. See, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts. We are not to condemn. See, when we bring people into this atmosphere, the culture will change them. The Holy Spirit will convict them. I don't have to convict anybody. You don't have to convict anybody. So if somebody comes in with a hat on their head, if they come in with clothes that's not church clothes, or they come in looking different than us, we don't have to convict them. Just allow the culture to change them. And this is a culture of love. And when the culture changes them, then they will be changed forevermore. But when you try to change them, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen for a split second. Then they're going to fall right back to where they once were before they got saved. So our jobs aren't to convict anybody. Our jobs are just to love people. Amen. So when we love people, then we don't condemn people. So Jesus never condemned you. The question is, Jesus never condemned you, so why are you condemning others? Because their political mindset doesn't match with your political mindset. Why are we condemning others? See, the Pharisees were condemning the woman when they brought her in front of Jesus. They were just condemning her. Hey, this woman was caught in an act of adultery. So they were condemning her. See, the enemy wants us to feel condemned when we miss the mark. He wants us to feel condemned when we miss the mark. So when we are condemned, listen to this. When we are condemned, we feel guilt and shame. When we are condemned, we feel guilt and we feel the shame. Who likes to feel guilt? Who likes guilt? Who likes guilt? Anybody? Anybody like to feel ashamed? Anybody? No, nobody likes to feel that. So why are we condemning others and making them feel guilty? But I've come to let you know that you're not guilty because Christ came for you. You're not guilty. You're free. So when you allow yourself to be freed by God, by Christ, then you are free, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are there any free people in the house today? Are there any free people in the house today? Because when you're free, I'm telling you, when you are free, see, when you condemn others, it makes you feel bad when you condemn others. Because I kid you not, when I first started at Xavier, I was so close-minded. I wanted to condemn everybody. Oh, no, they shouldn't be going on Bourbon Street. Oh, no, they shouldn't be doing this. Oh, no, they shouldn't be going to the club. But meanwhile, here I am condemning others, and I'm missing the mark myself. But I want those who have missed the mark to miss heaven. See, a lot of us want those who missed the mark to miss heaven. We hold people's sins against them. Oh, you did this sin back in 2010, I'm going to hold it against you. But God, he forgives us.
Thank you, Lord.
He forgives us. And when he forgives us, he separates our sins as far as the east as from the west. And so since he forgets our sins like that, why are we holding on to the sins of others? Why are we holding on to the sins of what people did back in the 80s? Back in the early 2000s, back in the night. Why? Let it go. As the Frozen says, let it go. Let it go. So it's important that we allow people to live in that freedom that we live in as well. Turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Everyone there? Man, I had to have a part two of this. Come on Wednesday night, because it's a whole lot more to this. So come on Wednesday night. It's going to be really phenomenal.
And you always want to get your midweek fill up. You don't just ride on fumes until you get to Sunday. Come on Wednesday night, it'll help you out. Mark chapter 12, verse 31 says this, and the second is this, you must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these. So this is the second, really the second commandment of what Jesus was talking about, because number one was thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, everything you got, love God with it. The second is like this, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, we're not going to stone them. We're not going to beat them over the head with our Bibles. Oh, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do this, and don't do that. And we damaging people because we're beating them over the head. See, we beat people over the head with the word instead of opening up the word and see what the word says. And the word says to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So when we see, love doesn't hurt because God is love. You ever heard love hurts? Love just hurt. You know, when we get in a relationship, you got your feelings hurt, they broke up with you, something happened, and you like, oh, I'm just so hurt, love hurts. But God is love. God don't hurt, right? So if God is love, God don't hurt, then why are we saying love hurts? It doesn't hurt. That's not love. That's probably lust. It's not love. So when we beat people over the head, we're not loving them properly. We're saying, oh, nah. You're gonna go to hell in a handbasket. You fire and brimstone, fire and you're gonna go to hell, you're gonna burn eternal. Oh, let's love. Let's speak to the potential of people. And I want to challenge you. If you have received love from God, which you do every day, let that same love that you receive be flowing through you. It should be flowing through you. So when we operate, let me give me my two more seconds. We operate in love. When we operate in love and not throw stones at others, we will have a positive impact on their lives. So I want to challenge you this week. Don't beat anybody over the head with the word of God. Amen. Because what you're going to do is you're going to repel them away. You're going to repel them. But the scripture says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. With loving kindness. So that means that you got to love and you got to be kind to people. You got to speak to the potential of people. And here at NBCC, we're going to speak to the potential of people. Because our focus isn't capacity, our focus is eternity. So when we speak to the potential of people, when we speak to who God created that person to be, then we will start to see them live the life that God has for them. Amen? So be here on Wednesday night. We're going to continue this on Wednesday night. Amen. Let's give God some praise in this place as you stand to your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. So thou shalt only throw stones if you are sinless and you are not included in the world. And Wednesday we'll find out what number three is, and we'll find out how to not throw stones at people. God never called us to throw stones. He never called us to stone anybody. He only called us to love everybody as we love ourselves. So let's look from God in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. We thank you for the word that has just gone forth. We pray, Lord God, that your people will be transformed by the word, Lord God, and that they will have power outside of these four walls to draw people to you. So God, we thank you that love, Lord God, is flowing through them. We thank you that grace will be their approach and that truth will be their identity. So God, we thank you, we love you, we honor you for who you are. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for allowing your free grace to capture our hearts, Lord God. So we thank you, we love you, we honor you in Jesus' name.